Well, hey, what's going on? Nick Kirby here. Welcome to a special edition of Chatterbox Reds as we preview our final team in the NL Central, the Chicago Cubs. We're finally able to get to them. We previewed the Brewers, Cardinals, and Pirates a while back, but finally getting to the Cubs and just in time right before opening day. Coming up in just a minute, I talked with two guys, Reed Mouse. You might know him from Chatterbox Sports. He is a diehard Cubs fan. So I figured this was an opportunity to bring Reed on. And also Joey Ricciotto, he does the Cubs on Tap podcast, very similar to what we do with Chatterbox Reds. In fact, they were kind of the OGs of live streaming post-game shows. Joey's really great, really knowledgeable about the Cubs. So got some good insight from both of those guys. We'll talk with them here in just a minute. The Reds were back in Cincinnati on Monday. They played a five-inning inter-squad game. And according to Mike Petralia, the game ended 1-0 when Jake Fraley beat out a double play that scored the winning run. Connor Phillips threw five shutout innings with a couple of strikeouts, according to Joe Dannemann. According to Charlie Goldsmith, he finished the day with a 97-mile-per-hour strike three fastball. Well, the Reds sort of also had an unofficial media day on Monday. First up, Frankie Montas talking about starting on opening day. This audio courtesy of Joe Dannemann and Fox 19.
I know people probably have expectations of, is this the Frankie from a couple years ago? This is the Oakland Frankie. Like, to be honest, I know what I can do. I believe in myself. And I know if I get the ball every 5 days and I stay healthy, you know, I would give this team a really good chance.
Many thought it would be Hunter Green getting the nod on opening day. Here's what Hunter Green had to say about not starting on opening day. This also courtesy of Joe Dannemann.
You know, I have conflicts here and there within myself of, like, what that really means, you know. And obviously for me, like, there's been glimpses of that, you know, where I've seen it within myself. Every day that I show up to the field, that is my mindset. But, you know, that's a tough label to put on somebody at such a young age. I embrace it. I've always wanted to have that extra pressure, or, you know, that that position or that title. I just think that it's dangerous to kind of try and grasp that so early on. As you see a lot of guys that have been given that title, you know, whether it's within that organization or that team or in the clubhouse, there's guys that have thrown, you know, a lot of innings and have thrown complete seasons and have either been Cy Youngs or All-Stars and all that stuff. So I totally see myself in that light, you know. But truly, I mean, truthfully, there's things that I have to do in order to truly prove that, and I know that. So personally, like, I love the idea of it and I want to be that guy, but I know I have to hit checkpoints in order to truly be called that within a clubhouse, and I have no problem with that. I want to earn every right to have that title.
Spencer Steer also talked about being more comfortable playing multiple positions this season versus last year. This audio courtesy of Mike Petralia.
I think I found a better way to prepare for the role. Last year, that's what I struggled with probably the most, was there was times where I felt unprepared at certain positions, because it's tough when you're playing left field for 2 weeks straight and then you come into third base for the first time in 2 weeks. And I don't think I did a good job of keeping myself prepared to play multiple spots, even if I wasn't playing them in the game. So I think I have a better plan of attack for that, staying fresh at all the different spots, because I do like being that role that they trust me to bounce around and play different positions.
Did you get really comfortable this spring in left field compared to where you were kind of being thrown into it left?
Yeah, I think I was able just to work on things more. It was kind of tough to, you know, you get thrown out there in the middle of a big league season to really work on stuff. It was kind of just, let's just go try to catch as many fly balls as we can and make all the plays. But I think this spring training, I was able to really work on my jumps, work on my reads, and try stuff out in games. I've been working with different kind of prep steps in the outfield, and one that kind of works the best for me in terms of reaction times and getting jumps on balls. So Yeah, I think I was able to get better at the outfield spot for sure.
Which position are you most comfortable with?
I'd say second or third base, one of those two. That's just what I've played most in pro ball, and yeah, but I think outfield's getting up there pretty quickly as well with how much time I spent out there this spring and all the reps I've gotten. I'm starting to feel really good about it.
And Reds manager David Bell talked about all the injuries that the Reds are dealing with. This audio also courtesy of Mike Petralia.
Yeah, I mean, if there's one certainty in our game for all teams, you're going to go through injuries, you're going to go through adversity. It's going to happen. And how, you know, we've talked a lot about this as a team, how you respond to that is going to lead to the outcome of your season. It's that important. It's that much part of the game of baseball. So we're no different. Yes, it all happened in a, you know, like, and we're going to have more challenges, but a lot happened in the last 7 to 10 days. We're going to miss each of those guys individually. As a team, it's been really a reminder of, like, how together this team is and to see how we responded. I mean, there was a letdown, there's no question, but it came back around. And, you know, our players know that the response is everything. And it's a choice. You know, you either respond the right way and have a great attitude. But it's not always like that. So seeing our team handling it that way, it actually gives us some momentum going into the season. It's really, I think, one of the characteristics of our team that's going to show up the most.
David Bell also said he doesn't expect to have the Reds roster finalized for that 26th man until Wednesday, so we will wait to see on that. Seems pretty likely the Reds are scouring the waiver wire, seeing if they can make any last-minute claims that make sense to fill that spot that we're expecting to be an outfielder. If not, it'll probably be someone like either Bubba Thompson or Jacob Herdebees. David Bell also said that Matt McClain's second opinion on his injury was scheduled for later in the day on Monday. All right, well, the Reds are off according to their game notes and their schedule. On Tuesday, they won't be doing anything. Wednesday, they'll be back at Great American Ballpark for their final workout before opening day, and we have official pitching matchups for the entire weekend. Opening day, it'll be Frankie Montas going up against Josiah Gray. Saturday, it'll be Hunter Green going up against the lefty Patrick Corbin. And then Sunday, in the series finale, it will be Nick Martinez making his Cincinnati Reds debut going up against right-handed pitcher Jake Irvin. All right, now looking at the Chicago Cubs. This Cubs team, very interesting. A somewhat quiet offseason, although they did end up signing Cody Bellinger to kind of solidify their lineup. They have a deep lineup, and they're even better defensively, really 1 through 9. They also have guys like Matt Mervis and Pete Crow Armstrong, top prospects that will be starting the year in AAA, but are definitely capable of even providing them some depth and maybe potentially bolstering their lineup and their position players as the season goes on. Starting pitching rotation is okay. Justin Steele at the top is really good. Behind him, a lot of question marks, some guys with some upside, but I don't think they're as good as the Reds rotation. They're definitely not as deep as the Reds rotation. So that'll be something to monitor all season long, I think, with the Cubs is, you know, can their starting pitching hold up? And then the bullpen, the guys, as you'll hear a little later on, they said the bullpen is fine, and that's probably a good way of saying it. They have some guys with some upside. They did bring in Hector Neris, who had a really great season last year, but is a guy with some potential for some regression. So interesting Cubs team, a team that is, I think, kind of as the season gets closer, starting to gain some momentum, as this could be the a team to really win the NL Central. You've heard it from me. I think everyone is capable in this division of winning it. I think everyone's capable of finishing fifth. So we'll just kind of have to see how that all shakes out. The one thing really going in the Cubs' favor, though, I was looking up and down the NL Central going through the injuries, kind of just seeing where do, how many other injuries do the rest of the NL Central have compared to the Reds? And when I looked at the Cubs, they're by far the healthiest team in this division going into opening day. So they definitely have that going for them. They are missing Jameson Taillon, but Patrick Wisdom, probably their second biggest injury. So they're in pretty good shape as we get closer to opening day. All right, before we get to this interview, our presenting sponsor here with Chatterbox Reds, the guys who make everything we do here possible, is DSC Commodities. DSC is a leader in renewable commodities for biofuel production. They specialize in used cooking oil collection, aggregation, and sales. Visit www.deepsouthcommodities.com for more information. Thanks, as always, to our friends at DSC. All right. Well, here is myself, Reed Mouse, and Joey Ricciotto previewing the Chicago Cubs. All right. I am joined by Reed Mouse. This is the one time of the year he gets to openly talk about the Cubs and not face any repercussions here at Chatterbox Sports. And I'm trying to make Reed a Cubs friend because I feel like Reed needs some Cubs friends. And there's no one better than Joey Ricciotto. Joey's over at Cubs on Tap. They're kind of the OGs of the post-game live shows. They did it before we did it at Chatterbox Reds. He's been doing it. How many years have you been doing it, Joey?
Ooh, me, myself, personally. I think I started doing it before they did the whole trade-off with, you know, the massive trade-off with all the old core. But they've been running for, man, I want to say they started in, like, either 2019 or 2020. And I hear the story quite a bit from, like, Ron and Juice. But I always forget the year, so don't hold me to that. But no, man, it's great to be here. Of course, talking Cubs and a little crossover with the Reds talk too. Maybe we can incorporate some of that. I'm always game.
Hey, I'm just glad to have someone I can talk Cubs with. Cause as Kirby said, I'm literally not allowed talking about it on air. I'm not allowed talking about it at Chatterbox Studios. So this is like my one time that I finally get to let loose. So thank you, Kirby, for that one.
Hey, you're welcome. Well, we did all the NL Central previews. I thought it would be a great bit to just skip the Cubs completely, but I figured, yeah, I better not. That would be kind of mean to Reed. All right, well, let's talk. Let's try to keep it somewhat serious because we have kept these. I feel like the few people that have actually enjoyed learning about the other NL Central teams, I want to give them that opportunity to learn about the last one, the Cubs. Fellas, kind of an interesting offseason. I think you could like make a case the Cubs are probably like sort of status quo with kind of like losing guys like Stroman. They did bring in some additions. They somehow last minute kept Cody Bellinger. Joey, I'll start with you. Like, how much better or the same or worse are the Cubs in your opinion?
It's so tough, man. Like, I'm not even saying that as like a Cubs homer to look at this team and be like on the bright side, like look at what they have coming through the system. But like, you look at how close these guys are that are coming throughout the pipeline, and they just are so deep in positions of need. You know, we got outfielders that are coming up, a top prospect with PCA who got a little taste last year. You've got Michael Bush, who they traded for, who's a very underrated addition, top prospect in his own right. Shota Imanaga, who no one knows what he's going to do in his first year as far as an addition goes. But he's got the stuff. I mean, he doesn't overpower you, but his nasty movement and deception, like he's got that quality sneaky strikeout potential for him. So, then you look at Bellinger, of course, bringing him back. That was probably the key to the offseason, because I feel like if you don't bring him back to at least solidify either first base or center field or wherever you're going to have him, depending on how the bats play around him with like developments of PCA and the guys coming through the pipeline, if you don't bring him back, the offseason's a major loss, in my opinion. So now, all that said, the addition of Craig Counsell, like I think this team is a little better than last year. I don't think the Stroman loss is too terribly huge, only because I expect a little bit of an emergence here from some of the young guys like Jordan Wicks, potentially Ben Brown at some point. The Jameson Taillon injury scares me. Sounds like he could be ready to go here pretty soon, at least maybe mid-April. But I would say, and this is just ballpark numbers, but they finished 83-79 last year, barely missed the playoffs. I think they're a four-win better club this year, just from development standpoint. That's what I'm holding them to. I think they're an 87 win club, but I've seen the skepticism too with the rotation. So very tough to say, man. I'm actually interested to hear what Reed thinks about this team.
Yeah, it's this team is, I felt like they were good enough to win the division last year, and they were kind of trending that way towards the end of, you know, August, and like, can they catch up with the Brewers? And then obviously everything fell apart. But every, like, the top teams, like the Brewers, obviously got worse. So now I'm looking at the Cubs, and I think, yeah, there might not have been major, major improvements there other than a year of development with a really good farm system. But this feels like the best team in the National League Central. They've got the fewest amount of holes. They've got such, as you mentioned, great farm system. I said this last year. When I think about the Cubs, it's so interesting how they're going about building their team. In a modern day where everyone's going for guys that throw 102 miles an hour and hit the ball 500 feet out of the park, stuff like that, the Cubs are very grounded in like 1980s, 1990s baseball, where we're going to field well. We're going to throw pitchers that don't throw very hard, but they're going to throw a lot of strikes, and we like our field. We like our defense, and that's how we're going to do it. We got guys that are defensive glove guys first and contact guys as well. Like Nico Horner is directly out of the 1980s. He's directly out of the 1990s. So this team I'm excited about. It's the most excited I've been since 2019, I guess I'd say, because 2020, COVID, 2021, you have – it felt like the last dance, which is, you know, a documentary about a not as popular team in Chicago. But this is the most excited I've been since 2019.
Reed's throwing bull strays. I didn't didn't expect that. Joey, I want to ask you about. I want to get to Michael Busch because he's, I think, maybe in my opinion, probably maybe the biggest key to the Cubs this year in terms of maybe like raising their ceiling. Just because I think he could be a star hitter. I do really like him. But the Cubs elected to keep Pete Crow Armstrong and Matt Mervis off the opening day roster, going with Mike Tauchman, who had a really good year last year, but was a guy that was playing overseas 2 years ago, kind of a journeyman guy at this point. Are you okay with them leaving those guys off the roster going into opening day?
Yeah, I'm totally fine with it. You got to earn your right into the big leagues, and I don't think either one of them are just quite there yet. Like, we thought that Mervis was last year during the season. Everyone, call him up, he's ready, call him up. We called him up. He wasn't quite ready. You got to send him back down. It's okay. He's still developing. PCA, same sort of thing, right? And then you start to realize where the weaknesses were, and PCA just really struggled to hit that high heater. So he needs to really work on it, I think. Defensively, he's there. Like, he's there and then some. He's a gold glover right now. You put him in the big leagues, he's probably winning a gold glove in center field. But the bat is just not quite there. Speed-wise, I mean, both these guys could be really good. I don't know if Matt Mervis will ever be – you know, the guy at first base, but you bring up a good point. I mean, they just have so much prospect equity. There's a couple other guys that are knocking on the door. You've got Owen Casey, who was really been strong here in the spring and really shown that, like, maybe he deserves a spot in the outfield or at DH or somewhere. He has massive power potential. So that's a left-handed bat that potentially could come up. Brennan Davis, who's been injured for a long time and just can barely stay healthy, but he's shown flashes in the spring and then, you know, suffered a concussion again this spring. So it's like just random things like that. He's been fighting for a spot. Alexander Canario, one of the recent moves, who today they announced that he's going to start at AAA. But again, another guy who he's been a top prospect in their system, at least in their own system. So the outfield depth is crazy as far as that goes, but I'm only okay with it because I feel like one of these guys will emerge at some point, and I'm really curious to see which one will emerge. And I know that's kind of like, oh, if none of them do, but when you have this much or this big of a crop, a pool to play with, like the development standpoint, it just looks like it's really trending the right direction. So I'm not as upset with them starting because you look at who's starting on the roster as it is. Ian Happ, he's an all-star, you know, at least he has been. Good on base. He can hit the gaps. You got Talkman, like you said, who's kind of not platoon guy, but really kind of like a really bench bat, I would say. But his on base last year, I mean, he was one of the toughest outs in the Cubs lineup because he would always work out to a 3-2 count, foul off a ton of pitches, and probably draw a walk. Like, he wouldn't get himself out. So that was awesome to see. The guy who I think is going to have a monster season this year, and this is a guy who a lot of people, I'm not the only one saying this, Reed, I'm sure you're probably on the same boat here. He hit two dongs today here in spring. This guy, he's had trouble staying healthy. He just hasn't been quite in the groove of things. It feels like his first two seasons, it was always either he's not healthy and can't find his stroke, or he's learning the big leagues that first year, or he's being too patient and he's getting rung up on strikes outside of the zone that they're calling strike three for. The guy had the worst luck with umpires, I swear, in the first two seasons that he's had. Seiya Suzuki, though, when he started to get aggressive, he started to finally get aggressive with pitches in the zone and was just taking advantage of it towards the end of last year for last couple months. Seiya Suzuki went off. And if you look at those numbers, and you just the guy he was kind of projected to be, I had this hot take on Cubs on Tap. Nick, you could call me crazy. I think Seiya's a top three MVP vote getter this year. Seiya Suzuki is going to have a monster season this year.
The thing that Reds fans don't get, and then this is a Reds fans podcast, right, is one of their favorite moments last year was Seiya Suzuki dropping that fly ball late in September. That is, like, if you talk to Reds fans, they bring it up all the time. What they don't realize is that Seiya Suzuki was arguably one of the reasons that we were in the position to make the postseason in the first place. He was, in the last 2 months of the year, he was a top three hitter in baseball. And all the things that you mentioned are right. Like, he couldn't stay healthy for the longest time. He was learning the American game and was being a little too patient and had terrible luck when he first came up, getting rung up on like crazy. Like, it was one of the most unlucky hitters by strike zones ever. I'm with you with Seiya Suzuki. That's people want to talk about, you know, Cody. People, you know, also Reds fans are enamored with a guy like Christopher Morel. And Christopher Morel, you know, he raises the ceiling of – Right. He's if you could find a little bit of consistency from Christopher Morel, that'd be fantastic. But Seiya is the guy that, you know, when it comes late in the game, who would you rather have up? There's maybe only one guy in the lineup you'd rather have up, and that's Cody Bellinger. Maybe. It just depends on who's hot at that time. Like, this is one of the best hitters in the National League Central, Seiya Suzuki. Not enough people are talking about it.
I thought you were going to say Christopher Morel when you were going through that whole spiel of the guy that's going to, I was waiting because I had Christopher Morel on my list because I saw that he's been batting cleanup. And I thought that was where you were going with this. So I like it. I will say, like, Suzuki's a great player, but that night was my last night of happiness of the baseball season. So the Reds won a game in Cleveland to kind of stay alive. And then that happened on top of it. And then the next night they lost, and that pretty much was the nail in the coffin. But, hey, that was a wonderful night. I will always appreciate Suzuki for that. Even if he wins an MVP, he's always going to mean that to me for that particular night. I was thinking back to last year when I was looking for tickets for opening day for the Reds and just how difficult it was to not only find tickets, but find them at a decent price without a bunch of crazy hidden fees. Well, the Game Time app is now an authorized ticket marketplace for MLB, which actually makes getting tickets even faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to first pitch. With killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, views from your seat, and the lowest price guarantee, Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying MLB tickets. My personal favorite feature of the Game Time app is their seat layout. It shows you exactly the price around the stadium in each section in a very clean, user-friendly way. They have all-in pricing. Toggling this feature shows the total up front with no surprise fees at checkout. The lowest price guaranteed, or Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app today, create an account, and use the code CINCY for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem the code CINCY, C-I-N-C-Y, for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. All right, let's switch gears to the pitching. I look at the Cubs rotation at 1-5. I don't know about Kyle Hendricks. I'm curious your guys' thoughts on him. I don't know how he's only 34 years old. That cannot possibly be right. He's got to be older than that. They're solid 1-5. I don't really see any holes. Depends on, like you said earlier, kind of what Wicks does. Is it enough with their starting pitching?
No, that's going to be their downfall, unfortunately. That's what I think this year, unless they make a move at the deadline or somebody emerges. Because I think Ben Brown is really close. If he hadn't gotten hurt towards the end of last year, he would have got called up at some point last year. And he looks fantastic. But, you look at a guy that we thought would have been legit in Hayden Wesneski, has not really quite taken that next step. As a starter, the league kind of figured him out. He's just a fastball slider guy, and that's about all he has, that slide. It's a huge sweeping slider, but if that's all you're throwing, you're going to get teed up pretty fast. Now he's starting the season in AAA. Cade Horton, like, that's one of the top pitching prospects in the game. Don't know if he's going to play this year, like pitch in the majors this year, but that's a possibility. If one of those two guys can come up and emerge as, like, legit, even a three starter, like a 2 or 3 quality starter this season in their rookie year, I would say I'd feel really good about this team as starting staff wise. Feel great about Steele. You don't really know as much as, like, as good as Imanaga looks, he's a fly ball pitcher and he could get hit around in this season. I could totally see that. And then tie on with the injuries. I really was not the only one, but I think that Tyon was going to have a bounce back year this year. Not for, we'll see how he can hold up. I do like Wicks. It's just, there's just a lot of, I think they're going to be reliant on the offense. I really do, which is weird to say when you don't have a lot of stars. If you're looking at just on paper, it's just a lot of quality hitters, but I think that might be the downfall this year would be their pitching.
Reed, could they have used a Frankie Montas?
Yeah. A guy that's thrown one inning. Guy that's thrown one inning in Major League Baseball in this decade. No, here's the thing about the Cubs starting rotation is that yes, it's a little shaky, right? But there's several options that they can go with their farm system with some veterans. Like if you need Drew Smyly to eat up a couple starts, so be it. Javier Assad looked great at certain times last year, and on top of that, this team has enough equity with prospects that say it is, the trade deadline and you really need a frontline starter because Justin Steele and Shota just aren't able to carry the load entirely. You can go and do that. Like and the Cubs have done that in the past. They have gone out at the trade deadline, got a piece that they desperately needed. So I like this rotation because you're going to be able to see. There's a lot of options that it seems likely that at least a couple, like you can mass together a good starting five with this rotation. And I think, everyone wants to laugh at Kyle Hendricks. And I think a lot of Reds fans do because he never pitches well at Great American Ballpark. That's kind of not his game to pitch well in a small ballpark like that. But yeah, reminder, this is the guy that's pitched the two biggest games in Chicago Cubs history. I still like Kyle Hendricks in the middle of my rotation.
I feel like a guy like Kyle Hendricks can survive a lot more with the Cubs with the great defense behind him than like he could survive with the Reds where there's some real challenges out there on the field. The bullpen. So I look at this bullpen and I was kind of looking at it a little bit today preparing for this. And I would go, okay, that looks like a pretty good bullpen. Then I kind of look again and go, I don't know. What do you guys make of the bullpen? Because that was kind of the downfall at the end of the year. I know Alzolay being hurt was kind of the killer of that and probably the biggest reason everyone kind of sliding up a role, it felt like that kind of messed him up. And I know Neris probably makes up a little bit of that, kind of gives you a little bit more of a security there. But what do you make of the bullpen?
Man, I don't know. It's tough to say. So I like Alzolay a lot. I like really one of the other guys too, Mark Leiter Jr. with that splitter I really like. Luke Little's a young guy that's just made the team who could be really solid from the left side. You already talked a little about Smyly. He could be like kind of that swing guy or long relief guy, but they don't have like a traditional like lefty specialist type guy, it seems like. Not that you need that. Yency Almonte could be something with the Dodgers, underrated piece. that they got back also in that Michael Bush deal would be solid. The guy I really, really like in this bullpen, though, and I think he's going to emerge and be probably the best in this bullpen, is Julian Merriweather. The guy throws 98 to 100 pretty consistently, solid slider. I really love Merriweather. I think a lot of that towards the end of last year was just they had one or two guys that they could count on, and guys were hurt pretty much all over. It was Alzolay. It was, I want to say, Michael Fulmer spent some time down too as well. They really ran into one. I'm actually, if I'm being honest here, the one guy I could see being an issue with the pen is the guy that they brought in this year, and it's Hector Neris. Not because of what he's done in the spring, because I know he's had kind of a rough spring, but I just think that you look at his ERA from last year, it's fool's gold. Like, he's a quality pitcher. He has a pretty decent ERA most years, but ERA, and then comparing it to like his xFIP, I mean, it's just way overblown what we're expecting him as fans to just come in here and be Mr. Lockdown, rock solid setup man. Like, he's going to come in here just like every other Cubs reliever on their first year and stink up the joint for the first couple months. And that's exactly what's going to happen until about June. Then he's going to find his little bit of groove. And they're like, oh, this guy's actually not bad. Well, yeah, but he's not exactly what you thought you were getting. So the most disappointing guy in the pen will probably be Hector Neris, because that's just what happens to the Cubs. So other than that, I think they're fine. I just don't think they're like, they're not like the best unit in baseball.
I think that's the right word. Fine. When you think of the Cubs bullpen, it's fine, right? Yeah, they got Julian Merriweather, who you and I both like. He seemed to be come on last year. The biggest question is, can Adbert be the guy? Is he what we saw at certain times last year, or is he somebody else? Like, can he continue to improve as that lockdown guy at the back end of the bullpen? Other than that, yeah, it's fine. It's nothing great. It's hopefully it doesn't lose you a whole bunch of games. It's certainly not going to win you a whole bunch of games. You hope they can tread water, and you hope that Adbert continues to improve as the closer.
Do you guys think that Council maximizes? Because I feel like he did a really good job with Milwaukee's pen. Do you think that adds to the pen, like making it better than it even paper, just looking at the talent out there?
I read people talking about this with Greg Council, and can he maximize the bullpen? Maybe, but he also, you got to remember who he had in Milwaukee, Devin Williams and Josh Hader. Those are pretty good guys to call on, and they can make you look pretty smart. I'm more intrigued to see how Council maximizes the lineup, because I think at certain times last year, Talkman and Dansby and Nico Horner at the top of the order always wasn't the smartest thing. But as for Council maximizing the bullpen, that seems a little like fool's gold because of who he had to work with in Milwaukee.
Yeah, I think that part of it was more just the Brewers' just incredible pitching development that they've really tapped into something where they can find underrated guys. I think where Council will really help is just like he's so calm. Like he never, he's very even keel. I think that a team like the Cubs that are looking at trying to take that next step, he's going to be really important for that. And he's always incredibly prepared. Watching the NL Central, watching the Brewers over the last however many years he's been there a while. It never felt like Craig Council was unprepared for any situation. So I think he'll use the bullpen well. I don't know if he's going to make any of them better or anything, but I think like Rory's point, lineup structure, those kind of things, he's going to be very in tune with the analytics department of the Cubs, and maybe more so than Ross. I don't know. I didn't follow Ross close enough to know if never really felt like he was anti-analytics or anything like that, but I feel like Craig Council will maybe take that next step of really kind of being dialed into that kind of stuff and really using it to his advantage. Very similar to, in my opinion, David Bell. I think they're kind of similar in that regard, where I think both of those guys are incredibly prepared for every single game and every situation on a daily basis. Will they do stupid things? Sure, every manager does, but it's not going to be, in my opinion, either one of those guys from a lack of being prepared. All right, so let's wrap this up with the NL Central as a whole. I know me and Reed, we've talked a lot about it all offseason. We think the NL Central top to bottom is incredibly competitive. We think there's five teams in this division that can compete. I don't know if Reed's lost any of that as the season goes on and just has gone full in. Cubs are winning this. Everyone else sucks. But Joey, I'll ask you, how competitive do you think the NL Central is? Do you think there is a team that is like going to be for sure in last place, or do you think this is a any man's race?
Whew, so tough, man. Pirates just need those guys to stay healthy, the main guys. They need O'Neill Cruz to stay healthy, and they need Cabrera to stay healthy. And I think they could compete if that's the case. I don't trust their pitching, though, still. I think they're the fifth-place team. That's my gut feeling right now, starting from the bottom, then working our way up. Milwaukee, I think that's a big hit for them. They got a lot of young guys that are coming up that you think will be really good. Jackson, Joe, you've got they just dealt away so much from the pitching department side of it. Like Corbin Burns, and you're going to deal with the Brandon Woodruff injury. I don't know if it's enough for them to really truly compete here in this division, so I got them fourth. But it is a great division. The Cardinals, I got them third because I, again, don't trust their pitching. I don't think Sonny Gray was enough to make them really good. And then isn't he starting out hurt? So I don't know. I mean, their offense should still be pretty good. It was pretty underrated even last year. I don't think they had a terrible offense. They just, you know, other parts of their game really suffered. I think it's between us, man. I really do. I think Cubs, Reds, right there, first, second. I know you're just waiting for me to say which one's finishing ahead, but Reds, good team. I think they're just a young, up-and-coming team that was really evident last year, and with the prospects that they have that are coming up and, you know, seemingly producing, will they be able to get the same type of impact with some of the same guys? I think Jamer Candelario was a great pickup for you guys. You know, as well as even Matas. I know we joke about it, but I think Frankie Matas is a really good underrated move. I think the Cubs are going to finish 87-75 is my call. I think the Reds finish a couple games behind them, 85 wins. I think it's a battle, though. I think the Reds probably make the wild card.
You want my prediction, Kirby?
I'm pins and needles.
You should be. You should be. Listen, my entire life growing up here in Cincinnati, I've wanted one thing. I almost got it. I was so close to getting it last year. And that is a true NL Central title race between the Chicago Cubs and the Cincinnati Reds. Unfortunately, I don't think I'm going to get it this year. I think they come in dead last. I think the Cincinnati Reds come in dead last. I think it was fool's gold all of last year. All the moves that they've done are great, but I mean, a team in the history of Major League Baseball that had like who has had a worse February and March than the Cincinnati Reds? Guys getting pinched for PEDs, dudes going down. It's been a rough couple weeks, and it coincides with you going out to spring training, Kirby. That's all I'm saying. We've made the joke multiple times that everyone in the NL Central can win it. Anyone can finish last. I don't think that's entirely true. I do think any team can win it. I really do think that. I think people are sleeping on the Pirates. Maybe not so much the Brewers with the injuries that they had. Yeah, maybe not the Brewers. Can you ever count out the Cardinals? They're like your uncle that you just keep asking to leave, and he just keeps making your life worse and worse. So you can't ever count out the Cardinals. I don't think that any team can finish last. So when I say that, like, I think any team can win. I don't think the Cubs can finish last. I think the Cubs have by far the highest floor. In fact, if the Cubs finish lower than third, then I have, like, it's an absolute travesty in this division unless every team is, you know, sitting right around 500 and it just, like, we're four games out of first place but in fifth place. Other than that, yeah, I think it's Cubs 1. I think it's Red Legs 5, and sprinkle everybody else in the middle, and I'll make the bold decision and say the Pirates are second.
Well, thank you for that, Reed. I appreciate that. That means a lot.
You're welcome.
All right, fellas. Well, this has been a lot of fun. Joey, we'll have to chat throughout the year. Maybe we can have you on one of these Reds-Cubs series. All right, well, thanks so much for listening today to Chatterbox Reds and our Chicago Cubs preview. Appreciate everyone that supports the show. If you've not yet subscribed to Chatterbox Reds, wherever you listen to this podcast, we've got content all season long, so make sure you do that now. Also, would love it if you left us a quick 5-star review wherever you're listening to this podcast. All right, on Wednesday, I'm hoping to have 2 podcasts in your feed. The first one will be a special interview that, as long as everything works out and we're able to record on Tuesday afternoon, I'll have up bright and early in your podcast feed, and it'll be an interview you will not want to miss. And then later in the day on Wednesday, I will be posting the audio from our Big Reds preview. I will be hosting at 10 a.m. on Wednesday morning on Chatterbox Sports on YouTube, a Cincinnati Reds preview show with Craig Sandlin. We'll be kind of filling in for Off the Bench. The Off the Bench guys have some work they got to do over at Prasco Field for the coverage that they're doing, so I'm going to step in, and it's a great time to just kind of go through a whole preview. I've got a great guest lineup set up. C. Trent Rosecrans, Charlie Goldsmith, Mark Sheldon, and hopefully a couple more as well. So you'll want to check that out live, Chatterbox Sports on YouTube, 10 a.m. on Wednesday. And then as soon as that's up and I can get it up in your podcast feed, I'll have that up for you Wednesday afternoon. And then I'm just going to kind of let that carry all the way through opening day as I'm planning Wednesday night to be heading down to Cincinnati for opening day. We're hoping to do a live radio show on Thursday morning. More details about that to come. And then, of course, we will start our Chatterbox Reds live post-game shows after every single game, starting on opening day. Of course, that's on Chatterbox Sports on YouTube. And then we also post that with a little bit slightly different version. Usually I add some audio and some of the interviews and things like that, and a little more detailed notes at the beginning. We turn that into a podcast every single morning for you. So we're almost here. We're almost opening day. I can't wait for it. So make sure you follow us along here. Everywhere you listen to podcasts, Chatterbox Sports on YouTube, all kinds of content coming. And I really appreciate you as always. Well, I hope that you have a fantastic Tuesday. We'll talk again tomorrow. Go Reds.